Hello, everyone. This is Sherry Boone, along with Jamie Tenzer, on August 14th, 2018, with Real Coaching Sessions Unplugged. Thank you for your interest in being a part of this learning opportunity and conversation. Real Coaching Sessions Unplugged is a place for PCC and MCC coaches to showcase their coaching. They come from a variety of backgrounds and styles to share their unique skills and gifts with all of us. In this format at Real Coaching Sessions Unplugged, we're looking to engage in a learning opportunity with colleagues who are exhibiting a wide range of coaching styles. When Jamie and I mentor coaches, we focus on creating distinctions for our mentees based on their goals and focus for coaching. Here, we do something a little bit different. We're engaging in a reflective conversation with the coach in an effort to give the coach and our listeners the chance to share their own learnings. We will not be reviewing the coaching as we would in a mentor setting. So remember, as in any session, anything can happen. As you're listening to this session, the goal is not perfection, but the goal is to learn something. As coaches, we meet our clients where they are, and whatever happens, happens. And then we all get an opportunity to debrief and learn, thanks to our generous and open-hearted guest coaches. So we thank you all for being a part of making this forum possible for all of our professional development. Today, we're very honored to have as our guest coach, Janet Williams-Hepler. You can find Janet's complete bio and see her contact info at realcoachingsessionsunplugged.com. So here's an outline of our call today. Janet will coach her client for about 25 minutes, and then we will interview Janet for about 10 minutes. Then we'll open up the line for you all to be able to ask questions. And then at 5 minutes before the hour, we'll make a couple of announcements and close the call. So everyone, we invite you now to sit back and listen in to this coaching session. Janet and your client, thanks so much for joining us today. And when you're ready, Janet, please begin your coaching.
Thank you, Sherry. So Julie, welcome.
Janet, thank you. I'm regretting that second cup of coffee. I feel shaky. But hi.
Well, first, I just want to say thank you for joining me in this fabulous experiment. And I just really look forward to exploring and learning with you today.
You're welcome. I certainly wouldn't pass up an opportunity to be coached by you. So I'm grateful for the experiment and to be a part of it.
So as we think of this space, is there anything that you want to do to create a space that feels right for us to do our work today?
I think just take a moment, take a breath to kind of ground into this. And let go of how long is this going to go and all of that. So I'm just going to take just a beat and get centered. All right. I'm ready.
Okay, so am I. So Julie, in this time that we have today, what is it that you would like to focus on?
Well, I'd like to focus on, my overreaching agenda is to, I've been thinking about how do I write a book. I've been through a pretty significant life experience lately, and I want to capture that, not just for myself, but hopefully that it could be enriching to other people, because I do know that there are many other people out in the world that have experienced what I've experienced. And it's pretty profound and significant. And so it's how do I get the story out, the story, the truth, the learnings, all of it, in a way that, the people who need to hear it and find it can do that. And so I keep going to a book But, you know, earlier today I thought, well, it doesn't have to be a book. Like, what could it be? So then it opened up all these other possibilities. But I think it's the net of it for me is, where do I start? How do I organize it? Because I am a very go with the flow, let's do what funds, follow the energy person. So the thought of being chained to my desk writing for 2 hours every day doesn't sound exciting to me. But thinking about these things and getting them out is exciting to me.
Wow. So I'm kind of hearing a couple of things. I'm hearing write a book, reaching others and sharing your story and capturing your story. And maybe the book isn't what it is. So I'm wondering what is it about now that feels right about capturing your story?
Well, I feel like now it's been a 2-year journey and I've done a lot of really, really deep, intense work, and I've crossed the threshold of trauma and anger into healing and resilience and forward facing. And so I feel that the tone, the voice would be in a more grounded place to be in speaking about this.
Mm.
Right? Like, I think I've said this before with you, but it's like my son, you know, if I'm yelling at him to, like, get your chores done, he looks at me and says, I can't hear you when you yell at me. And so I didn't want it to yell because people can't hear that.
Oh, I got it. So, Julie, and in exploring this today, what kind of thing what would give you momentum, I guess, behind this this sharing of your story? Where would you like to start?
I think what would give me momentum, and I already feel emotional about it, is just setting aside the limiting beliefs. Because the story involves a pretty significant, emotional container, to have people not validate it would feel scary, even though I know, you know, I stand in the truth that I know what happened and I know it's real. But the fear of being criticized or, oh, it's not that bad, or look at how great your life is. Those old stories, gremlins, critical limiting beliefs, you know, are working really hard to, give me misguided safety.
So as you think of those, can you share what happens when you are able to put them aside?
When I put them aside, I find flow. And I'm able to really speak from my heart, from a true place.
Mm-hmm. And what has helped you put them aside?
I think it's just oftentimes catching the story I tell myself and stopping and saying, is this true? Right? Will people cut me off if I share some of these hard truths? Am I a terrible person for X, Y, and Z? Or will people not like me because of X, Y, and Z? And then I do try and catch that and stop and say, is that really true? No, it's not. But yet they still creep in.
So what little where are they creeping? What do you think opens the door to them?
You know, I never asked myself that, but I think sometimes they creep in after I've done some of the deep trauma work and I'm processing.
So, what does that tell you about maybe your timing, about when you explored capturing your story?
Yeah. Well, as I said that, I thought, well, maybe the best time to sit down and write is probably not after therapy. and that, right, like a practice around grounding in the good stuff, the true beliefs, not the limiting beliefs. And, you know, even as I think back in, you know, my past where I've taken a limiting belief and, you know, asked my, you know, acting up 5-year-old to go sit in the room with my other 5-year-old while I have the big girl business meeting, right? Maybe I can leave those limiting beliefs in with the therapist when I'm sitting down to write.
Oh. I'm picturing some very interesting rooms where you can... Where they can talk about.
Right, I have a whole house.
Leave you to do your work.
Right, I have a whole house. But I think there's this part too of me that there's that integration and the nurturing of the child me that has a voice in this story. Right. So what? How do I encourage her to have the voice without the fear and without the core beliefs?
So if I get it, there's a part of who your younger self wanting probably to tap into that, leaving the negative voices elsewhere.
Yes.
And that's really important for telling your story. Did I get it?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Well, is this idea of sort of putting those voices or those gremlins elsewhere so you can reframe, is that an idea that you want to build on for this?
I feel like I've had some good awareness around that of timing, and, you know, that's an obstacle that gets in the way of me starting. I think building upon how and where do I start to bring this out of my brain and my heart and get it. You know, the crappy first draft, or, you know, all of that stuff that Anne Lamott, so I'm not saying crappy that I'm a crappy writer. I'm saying you gotta do a first draft. So
right.
You know, I think having a next step in some sort of vision around, okay, this is when I'm gonna start and this is the practice I'm gonna have around it. Because it feels clear where those limiting voices need to be, and that was really helpful.
Okay. I just want to acknowledge it sounds like you've really developed a strategy for when they come up, and it's working for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's sort of a muscle that you have.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I think just the small just, you know, shift on the timing brought more awareness for me of, oh, okay, let's think about, you know, that's just one more question to ask. Is this really a good time to sit down and do this? When would be a better time?
Mm-hmm.
So if we looked at the next 10 minutes as how you might get some strategies to start, is that what would be most valuable for you?
Yes.
So what else would you add to picking the right time?
You broke up a tiny bit. What else would I add to create time? Is that what you asked?
No. It sounds like one thing you've identified is making sure that you pick a good time for starting.
Oh, okay.
So when you're processing tender stuff, not that, but what? How would you like to build on that?
Well, I think I'd like to build slowly, right? Just, you know, what comes to mind is, you know, when people start out meditating, like there's this funny card I saw one time and it said, you know, I tried meditating and I was like, oh my God, how long am I going to have to sit here? Is this done yet? Are the groceries ready? Blah, 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 right? Like if you pick 20 minutes for your first meditation out, it's going to be so hard and painful. or you have a run in forever and you go run a marathon. Like you're going to be hurting. Like I want to ease into it in a way that I crave more.
Ooh.
Like that 5 minutes of writing was like, I don't want to stop. I'm in the flow. I crave more of it. Tomorrow I want to do 10 minutes, right? Like just a slow build, knowing that the foundation is firm and solid. Mm.
Okay. So what might that look like?
Well, the tactical person in me says I just need to identify a time and maybe a couple days a week and experiment, see if that works. Mm-hmm. Does it work before yoga, after yoga, when the kids are home, when they're not home?
So how might you invite your writer person who wants to look forward to this into the tactical discussion?
I'm just writing that down. It's such a good question. I think honoring, by acknowledging and honoring, you know, there's two parts. There's the writer, creative person, and then there's the tactical person. And the tactical person, the type A in me is like, let's just get it down, and, you know, let's just burn it out. And the writer's like, wait, let's go, you know, let's be a little more gentle and thoughtful about this. Not that type A isn't thoughtful, but type A works at lightning speed. Writer might just do a little bit and then revisit and a little more and revisit. Right? And I don't know. It's like, okay, I'm all these analogies today. It's like the difference, and you know I love to cook. It's the difference between making like a slow demi-glaze sauce or caramelizing onions versus a quick stir fry, right? Like it needs to, you know, slow heat versus high fast charred.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. So I'm like, what kind of dish are you making when you start?
I know. I'm like, the writer person needs to tell the tactical side of me, hey, this isn't a quick dinner. This is like the slow braise, right? So we need to be on the same page as far as what the recipe is. That's what I'm taking away as we talk about that.
I can also, you also tied in at the very beginning that this is about sharing your story, and it sounds like you're really wanting to prepare and craft a flavorful meal for your audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in thinking, you talked about starting on a foundation, and I'm hearing elements of this is a sumptuous feast, and this is about really intricate flavors, and trying that out. How do you want to approach that first when you pair your creative person with your get or done person? How do you want to approach that first step?
I think, so ironic. I made dinner last night and gave it to my daughter, and this kind of gives me a sense of how I want to approach that first step. But I gave her food, and she took a bite, and she goes, "Why is your food so amazing?" Better than any food I ever eat. And I just looked at her and smiled, and I said, because it's made with love.
Oh, Julie.
So here's where it ties together for me. Those critical voices have no place in a recipe made with love. And so, maybe the first next step is something either on the notebook I write in or wherever that space is, I could just create a tangible metaphor and go get a recipe card and write love on it and just place it there in front of me as something to remind me that this is founded in love.
You can't see my tears, but I get it.
Well, I'm crying too, but you know that already.
I know that. Wow. That sounds like the biggest key ingredient. So, Julie, as we kind of close our time here, is there anything else that you want to capture from our conversation today that will help you get started?
No, I just think it's so eye-opening to think that we think of all these logistics get in the way, but when you really get still and think about what the true vision, the true calling, the true motivation is, that other stuff just falls away, right? It's such a freedom, and already I'm like, ooh, and don't forget I need to add humor to that recipe card because I love humor, right? It's love and humor, and I already want to build, right? So yeah, that is exactly where a great place to land as a start, as a jumping off place.
Awesome. So Julie, is there anything about today that you want me to acknowledge you for?
Oh, I love that question. Just how hard I've worked and how brave I am to come out the other side of this.
Yeah. Yeah, Julie, it's been an honor to travel with you through that, and you have been very courageous and very brave. And the other thing I'll add is, you know what they say about perfect love? Casts out fear.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an honor to share the journey with you, so thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I will return us to our
real
warm circle of friends.
Yes.
And
I look forward to
hearing. You're welcome, Julie. Thank you. And I look forward to hearing what you cook up.
Yes. I'm excited to tell you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Janet. And thank you to your client, Julie. Yep. Very nicely
done.
Thanks. Yeah. So, Janet, how was the session for you today?
That's a very big question. It was, so here's what I knew. It was where I felt really good is that we were able to get to that underpinning. I know in talking to Julie, you can kind of hammer out tactics, but finding that place where she could create was really, I guess if I had an agenda, that might have been part of it. It's where could we find that place of starting to be able to create and get that out.
Yeah, great. What I'd love to hear, like, sort of what was going on for you as you were getting into the session. How were you finding that place? How were you, you know, what's happening for you internally, if you could share that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think first, you know, a couple things I knew I didn't, it was less about the situation and more about focusing on what she wanted to move forward. So I was very mindful about staying there. And, you know, I was hearing about the gremlins, and what I know is she's got all the strategies in place. So I was testing how much of that she wanted to get into, but it sounded important because it was sort of the first thing that was coming to mind. And then, you know, I guess I feel like when we pivoted to the tactics, I just realized that there was something about that creative person. What I really hung on to was the wanting to return and wanting to start every day. And what was that to bring in to the other piece? Because we can always... Julie and I share coming from an environment where we can always get her done, but how you get it done, especially for something like this, is such a, I guess, a labor of love. And I hadn't really thought it, but that was an insight that was just gold.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, this is Julie, and she's a long-term client, I think, or at least you've worked some together before, and so there was that level of trust that was apparent in this session, and the way you were, your coaching presence, the way you were walking alongside her, I thought was really beautiful, following her, walking alongside and following, right, at all at the same time. I think that you, I was really noticing how you were following the metaphors and building on those. Mm-hmm. The feast, mm-hmm. the food, and others. And that was meaningful. And also I thought you had such a great flow of questions, that they were just straightforward, they were concise, and again, just sort of the next natural question that you were finding, following your intuition. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful job in this session.
Thank you.
Yes. I'm going to see if Jamie has something.
Yeah, great session, Janet. I love listening to you coach today.
Thank
and
you.
Always. I mean, a few just acknowledgments. Just your energy is just so, you're just so there. You know, Sherry mentioned your presence, and your energy is just so strong, and you have an amazing ability to bring lightness, but also sensitivity at the same time, which also comes with presence, but just your ability to be really light in those light moments, but also really connected in those sensitive and more tender moments. And I just wonder if you have a sense of how you do that. What is it, who are you being when you're being with your client that you can just really ride that, those waves side by side?
Wow, what a great question. You know, it's interesting because so two things, I guess. We've been talking a lot about coaching emotion recently, and lo and behold, there it was. So I was like, oh, I'm living this now. is there a dry eye in the house? So I think that was just learning to be open and present to that was really important, and just being okay with that. And I think I also just put my place is important, and the place I'm in right now is just a place where I can easily follow. So part of it is I think I set my surroundings in such a way that helps me to be present, and just be able to have that come in the right, I guess, in a dose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also really intrigued. I'll just say this. My dog is perfectly parked at my feet and sleeping. So there is something about the space here. I think just how, and so sometimes I do think about, and she's that presence that she can bring. So that's like, oh, cool. And I really was excited to experiment today. So I think both bringing that curiosity and creating a space of safety is important, and then I think it's like, ooh, this is like holding hands and walking through the woods. I can stay with my client. This is so fun. So I think it's partly what I bring to that as I anticipate.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sherry? Should we open up the lines?
Yes. Why don't we do that? Let's see what other people have for you, questions. So everyone else, you can use *6 to unmute your line and just say your name. If you have a question, comment, acknowledgement, something you're curious about,
Wanda.
You want to engage with Janet, please go ahead right now, pressing *6 to unmute your line.
Hi, this is Carmen.
Yes, hi, Carmen.
Hi, and I've been listening to some other, you know, coaching sessions recently, and the thing that stood out to me was something that had been brought up in one of those about using our client's own language, because it seemed like the more you used her language and her metaphors, it just opened. Like a flower, if I may make a metaphor.
Sure! Metaphors are us.
So I was really tuned into that and loved hearing, you know, the doors in the rooms and all the rooms and the cooking was just beautifully done. It was just one thing after another that engaged her and brought out more and more of her understanding in a very right brain way, it sounded like. So thank you for that. I really appreciated it.
Thank you.
Yep. Great. Thank you, Carmen.
Hi, this is Wanda. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Wanda.
Hi. Yes. Yes. I was noticing something similar as what Carmen was saying. The beautiful language of with respect to the cooking, and so there's that. And then the other thing that I'm struck by was the authenticness of the emotions right from the start, even when you had a little bit of a laugh together, and how, like, operating off of that authenticity, even in how you were both so present and authentic, even in the moment of the wow, you know, like when she had the statement of the critical voices have no place in a recipe made with love. I thought that was so beautiful, Janet, and your use of powerful questions, as you were, like, listening for what would make a difference for her, and I was writing down a number of things there that I was really struck by the way you worded things and how you engaged her from there. So it was a really beautiful coaching session to listen to. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Wanda.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Wanda. Okay, who else? Pressing star 6 to unmute yourself.
This is Lori.
Lori.
Oh, thanks. So thank you, Janet and Julie, for such an incredibly rich session. Mm. I agree with the other people about the imagery and really enjoyed sort of getting baked in that myself as I was listening.
No pun intended. Thank you.
I love you, Lori.
A couple things. One of them, Janet, I appreciate your giving when you were responding afterwards to the questions about your experience, how you talked about your own testing a bit during the piece where you weren't sure if she wanted to talk a lot about the gremlins, but she kind of did, so you went with it. And then you checked out whether that was still part of the agenda. And it seemed like as you sorted that out, you know, it kind of settled out. It became clear in those kinds of questions you were asking. Throughout, which I appreciated as a coach, just sort of that, how does that go when you have something you're sort of testing yourself? But the other piece is the way in which you both stayed away from in terms of the stuff Julie was actually wanting to write about. And I wonder if you could talk about maybe what would happen if your client started to go into that content more? What would you do? Julie stayed away from it, but she knows a lot about how coaching goes. And what I right, not all clients do. So what about that?
What a great question. It does help that we've coached before, and I think but if a client was starting to go there, I think because there's so here's the line I'm intentionally dancing with is some of that feels like therapy. And so to the extent that we go into that therapy, if it becomes processing the therapy, it sounds to me like it's a domain that I'm not adding the same value to.
Mm-hmm.
And also sort of given the agenda, it's so close. Like I don't, it, that, I think the way I would handle it would be to ask what, maybe explore, is it too soon? I think she got to a point where it's like, no, she's ready. That's what I was hearing. So it was easier to stay with the readiness of the writing. But if the issue keeps coming up, I guess as a coach, I would start to say, are you ready? Is this about sharing for others? Is this about your own processing right now? So I think that was how I'd probably serve it up, and then to the extent, just to see, and maybe even start to explore how would she know she were ready?
Nice. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great question. Thanks, Lori.
Mm-hmm. This is Barb.
Yeah, Barb.
Hi there. Thank you, everyone. Janet. I wanted to acknowledge about midway through when you held the thread through the agenda. You said you've tied in the very beginning that you wanted to craft your story, and then you brought in the metaphor to craft a flavorful one for your audience. So weaving the beginning to where you were, I wanted to acknowledge that. And seemed to serve useful. And then your question that your client responded well to was, is there anything else about today you want me to acknowledge for you for? And that was such an interesting question. It had a powerful impact. It brought out some emotion and gave you an opportunity to celebrate. And so as I was reflecting on that, I was also wondering, it seemed like a question that you've used before because she said that's always such a good question. I'm wondering if you've ever used it in the way of, is there anything you want to celebrate yourself for? That's what came up in my mind. So I don't know if you have. I'm just curious.
You know, I love that, and I haven't. So thank you. That's a takeaway for me.
Okay, well, we'll both try it and meet back again.
Sounds great, Barb.
I'll try it both ways.
All right, yeah.
Thank you.
That's
very
great,
nice.
Barb. Thank you. Yeah, somebody else.
Hi, this is John.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hi. So I just want to say that I was struck by Janet's presence. It was very powerful, and I think she set it up right at the beginning, or the tone started at the beginning when she said, what do you need to create the space to do the work today? And I thought that was an amazing question. So the question I have is it because you know who Julie is that you ask it, or is it something you create for all of your clients?
What a great question, John. There were two things. One, this situation is new for both of us, so I felt a strong urge to create that. And it is something I've started using with clients, especially on the phone. And it's sort of a way to, to harmonize where we are. I might do it a couple different ways. So, for example, I have a client who tends to meet with me, and she's in a super bland room. And so, you know, when I opened with this idea of, hey, you know, what would you like to create or think about in your space, it really livened up something and almost let them bring something in. It's a little bit like decorating, only internally in our heads. So
wow, that's amazing. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. The other metaphor I've used for some is, if all of you know Harold and the Purple Crayon, Harold draws something. So sometimes I'll pull that out if somebody needs a more concrete picture of what I mean in terms of creating a space.
That's great. I've got another question for you. And I just want to say, Julie's self-awareness and love, This is her. This is her heart. It came forth, and I could sense it. So I was really touched by that. And the fact that you brought it up, and you were real and authentic and saying, you can't see, but I've got tears in my eyes, shows how much you care for your client. And I'm a newer coach, so I want to know what is the mind shift that you made as a coach to come from this place of presence and just being there alongside your clients?
I would say it's somewhat of a mind shift, but it's also a building of the alliance. So Julie and I have a very strong alliance that we've built over the past few years, and I think that enables more of that openness and authenticity and just being able to track. So I'd say that the stronger you can build an alliance that can sort of contain tender conversations, the more it's possible. So I don't know if it's less of a mind shift and more about just carefully making sure that clients know that I am for their best interest and available to them and in service of them.
Wonderful, beautiful. Thank you so much.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, John. Very nice. All right, who else? So I'll just add on to what you were just talking about, Janet, with John, and I think that's such a great way to articulate what I experienced from you in this session. Just know, you know, it was so clear that you were there with your client and that you were completely in service of her and her process.
Mm.
And that's so critical in powerful, masterful coaching. Yeah.
Mm.
So nicely.
Thank you.
I love the way you say that.
Mm.
Any other comments or questions from anyone? Something you might have noticed that you want to mention?
Hi, this is June.
Yes, June.
Hi, I'm just picking up on what John said and what you just mentioned there is the presence was powerful. You know, I could feel it listening to the call. And I'm just curious to know how, whilst developing that strong presence and that partnership and, you know, being part of the journey, and as you said, you know, you can't see my tears, but, I have them for you. How do you still maintain that level of objectivity or that distance that, you know, and one of the analogies I kind of use is, you know, I'll throw you a life ring when you're kind of struggling to swim, but if I get into the pool with you, then we both might end up drowning. I'm just curious to know how you still, as I say, maintain that distance and that relationship that says, you know, I'm here to help you, but you need to do the swimming kind of thing.
Yeah. Great. You know, so what I would probably say is the way I'm wired, that's probably my default. So it's more of a stretch for me to say I'm going to, and I don't know that I'm feeling like I'm in the pool. I think the place I'm going to is how can I be authentic and how can I authentically show how somebody is impacting me? Because even when I'm working with somebody who's in a different space, coaches have this unique ability to say, well, you know, can I share how this landed on me? Whether it's deep and profound and tender or whether it's like, wow. So when you said that in that way, I did not feel like I wanted to follow you as a leader, if you catch my drift. So it's, I think it's understanding my role is I'm kind of in this unique place to give somebody firsthand feedback and be with them in that way. And so cultivating that relationship that lets me be as forthright and authentic as I can with my use of self.
Mm. Yeah, I guess it's just, you know, in our kind of coach training, one of the things is about that connection and developing that connection, but not being too close that you lose your objectivity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something which I've tried in terms of, you know, if a client is upset and I might feel that, I try very hard to keep that distance, but then sometimes that can interfere with not necessarily being as authentic as I might like to be if I wasn't in a coach situation. So it's a challenge.
For better or for worse, one of the things that I think has helped me with that, although I still grapple with it, is having spent, like, I have a dear friend who has cancer. And so it's a different, like, it is really clear to me that I cannot walk her walk, and I can also create a presence for her where she can process what she needs to if that's what she chooses. So it is both, I think, thinking about it as creating a really safe space and being really clear about, I know I can't do any of this for her, but I can do it with her. I don't know if that helps, but sometimes working with people, especially when they're working really hard stuff, is soul-stirring stuff, I'll call it, but just how to be there with that, because it's probably hard for them if they haven't, to be there with that to begin with. So how can we as coaches help stretch their capacity to do that and not take that away? And you can take it away by either not letting them experience it, or by being so objective that they don't feel like it's okay to be how they're being.
It's a great question. There's a lot to think about.
What a great question.
Thank you, June. And thank you, Janet. Beautiful sharing of what's going on for you and how you articulate that. Really nice.
Thank you.
And it's a great topic to play with, to be aware of, I think, how we do that and how we maintain ourselves, our boundaries, at the same time being right there with our client. And as you say, not do it for them, but maybe do some of it with them. Beautiful. Thank you, Janet, so much for your coaching today and being so open with your in talking with everyone and unpacking what coaching is for you. Thank you so much. I'm going to turn it now over to Jamie.
Okay, great, wonderful. Yeah, what a great discussion. And I want to give everyone on the line a chance to just share any takeaways you might have from today's session as we wrap up. What are you taking away? So star 6 to unmute yourself. And there's a little background noise. So if someone thinks that might be them, if you could mute. And I'm sorry, go ahead. Someone you wanted to
share?
This
is Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
Two things I take away. One is the use of this kind of affirming sound when someone is saying something that you're appreciating. And I remember this from when I went through a program with Sherry, that like Sherry does that, and I noticed that on today's too. And I don't do that in my coaching, but I see it as actually effective. And gets the client to continue to talk, because it's kind of affirming them that you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more without having to fill the space with your own words. So that's something I'm taking away from this.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Great. Good. Who else?
Hi, it's Wanda.
Yes.
I am taking away very much the power of trust and presence. I could
the power of trust and
trust, and then presence as well. Two distinct things, but both very powerfully displayed today.
Yes. Yep.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes, it's June. I think I'm really taking away that the power and of emotion, and that it's okay for emotion to be part of a coaching conversation, not just from the client, but also from the coach. So, yeah, there's a lot to think about. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks, June. All right.
Hi.
Oh. Yes. Yayoi?
This is Yayoi. Yes, I just wanted to say I was struck by the authenticity and her presence, and it was just an authentic connection that you were able to see, and genuine. So that was, thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Yayoi.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyone else?
Well, if I can add one more, it would be that
I had a
conversation with a CEO client yesterday, and we talked about how his job is very difficult, and he's working hard to affirm his team, and his board is really pounding on him and pointing out his inadequacies. That who's affirming you? And that could have been a moment where I affirmed him. I did support the hard work that he's doing, but that question that was asked of, what, how can I acknowledge you? That would have been really strong at that moment.
Great. Yeah. Great. Thank you.
This is Peggy.
Uh-oh. Hold on. Hold on, Peggy. Can you star 6 to unmute yourself? Peggy? Okay. I'm really sorry, Peggy. I would love to hear what you have to say. I think we need to wrap it up right now, and I apologize. I was already muting the line when you started to speak. So in closing today, again, I just want to thank you so much, Janet Williams-Hepler, for your amazing coaching. It's wonderful to host you today.
And thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Yay. And next month, our Real Coaching Sessions call will be on Tuesday, September 11th with Sarah Graves, PCC, at 2 o'clock Eastern Time. So we hope everyone will join us for that. We do have a quick announcement. Coming up in the fall, our course, Deeper Conversations Coaching, will begin on September 10th and run for 10 weeks, finishing before Thanksgiving. The class meets every Monday and Wednesday from 12 to 1:30 U.S. Eastern Time. And you can earn up to 30 CCEUs all in the core competencies. If you need less, you can register for any amount from 3 to the 30 hours and attend the classes that work for your schedule. So please see all the details and register at deeperconversationscoaching.com. Now we'll stop the recording, and I will give the final code word.